Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Knowing Christ Ministries Half Hour, or as we like to think of it, the 30 minutes during which we focus on our Lord Jesus Christ, the one true Son of God Almighty. I'm still uncertain about our upcoming schedule, but as you can see, I'm seeking to run at least one radio show per week. Now, this may increase to two per week, or I may have to skip a week, but at least one per week is my goal. And as for content, I'm still praying for the series on hymns, but to date, no talent has come forth to participate and showcase their musical strengths. So the format for that is uncertain as well. But with that in mind, I will ask that anyone with musical talent or who knows someone who would be willing to sing a hymn within the public domain that we can use in our broadcasts and podcasts to please contact me at info@knowingchrist.com or message me through our Knowing Christ Ministries Facebook page. But what we're going to continue today for at least, and for the next week or so, is to focus on what I've been publishing for the ministry and what I regularly speak and lecture on, and that's the nature of relying on Christ in the midst of chronic illness. 2 weeks ago, we provided a very brief introduction to our lecture series and book titled God, Marriage, and Illness. And last week, we examined where your focus is. Well, today we're going to talk about some of the challenges that can derail that focus. And I believe if you're aware of potential pitfalls in any area of your life, then you're better armed and prepared to avoid them in the future. So actually, I urge you to listen to the entire two previous broadcasts in this series, either from a download on our Knowing Christ Ministries Facebook page, or from our Knowing Christ Ministries page on Blog Talk Radio, or from our vast library of iTunes podcasts, as I don't have time to recap them here, as we have a lot to talk about today. So, after examining where your focus is, if it is not on God first and your marriage second, why might that happen? What are some of the challenges? What are some of the causes? What is it that can derail that focus? Well, let's explore these issues and you'll understand what I'm talking about. It's very sad, but in today's world, unless faith is truly alive, very little is sacred. We live in a disposable society, and unfortunately, people are considered disposable commodities. And very often, no matter how strong your godly convictions are, you feel swayed by empathy and sympathy when presented with the pain others are feeling, a pain very similar to yours. And so you may see their reactions as dysfunctional or extreme, for example, when you're on social media. But they're still going to resonate with you. Well, much like planting the seeds for God's love of others, Satan continually plants the seeds of discontent in the believer, and in this case, by playing with your emotions. So if you have a strong Christ-based marriage where your focus is on God first and your marriage second, you know that there are alternatives to divorce, separation, or infidelity, despite the statistics. However, it is possible to live happily ever after with a spouse or partner who respects and loves you. With God, all things are possible, and that's not just a trivial scripture quote. It's a universal truth. It places the focus on God, not on you. It places the focus on God, not on your spouse or partner. It places the focus on God, not your illness. Now, when I was gathering data for this book and for the workbook and lecture series, I did a lot of personal interviews with couples. And sadly, the majority of individuals I interviewed for the project were caught up in the cycle of seeing everything through a lens pointing inwards, only seeing the negative and focusing on their wounds. And unfortunately, in today's day and age, outside of the unconditional love that God has for us, most people only attribute the love of an animal or another non-human companion as unconditional. I know my dog loves me unconditionally. In fact, like I say, we understand unconditional love received from that animal as perfectly natural and pure as we look at our dog or cat sitting next to us. It's much harder to believe unconditional love is an attribute we describe to a loving relationship we have with another human. But if we're created in God's image and he's capable of unconditional love, doesn't it follow that we should also be capable of such love? And moreover, shouldn't that be the overriding descriptor for a committed relationship or marriage? But what happens? Instead of unconditional love the other, we set a series of requirements for that the other person has to fulfill in our life in order to prove their love. For example, how often do we find ourselves saying, or perhaps thinking, if you loved me, you wouldn't do that, whatever it is that's annoying us about the other person. Is that really the way you feel? To place that annoyance as a condition for whether or not that person loves and highlights, you know, that highlights where the focus of your relationship is. If the conditions for your belief that someone loves you or not are placed upon superficial things, then it's pretty clear your focus is on you first rather than God, and certainly not your marriage. If you let superficial issues validate whether or not someone loves you unconditionally, how much more would something like a chronic illness and the changes it brings to a marriage affect you, and as a result, affect your relationship? Well, sadly, as statistics bear out, chronic illness can very quickly become a condition placed upon the relationship as one that decides whether it will continue or if too much support is required of the healthy spouse, for example, and they become too overwhelmed. Does that become conditional for their love? You have to question that. So, as I've done for the past few weeks, I'm going to rattle off a few questions. Actually, there's a lot of questions today. And again, we explore all of these questions I'm asking now and that I asked in the last 2 weeks in our workbook and lecture series in much greater detail. So if this topic's important to you and touches you in any way, I strongly urge you to get the full workbook and to seek a lecture or a seminar series with a church or organization who can bring us in, because this is really important information. Anyway, so let's talk about the questions. What does unconditional love mean to you? What does unconditional love of another person mean to you? Does God's unconditional love for you serve as a role model? Why or why not? Are there any conditions under which you would or could not love someone else? Well, what are they? And why would or do you find them conditional? How does God's love for you impact the conditions you set for others? How would you define your ideal relationship or marriage? And how does God's establishment of the union of marriage impact that definition? How closely does your marriage resemble your ideal? And does God play a role in your current relationship or marriage? How is that manifest either way? And of course, based on all the answers to all of these questions, do you believe it's possible to have an ideal relationship or marriage if chronic illness impacts that relationship? And again, how does or might your focus on God impact your ideal relationship or marriage within illness or with illness as a part of the paradigm that you deal with? Now, as you might imagine, one of the key findings from interviews conducted in the making of the workbook was a concept of seeing the chronic illness as a heart matter rather than as purely a relationship matter. In other words, the knowledge that the person you love is affected by something that causes them daily pain or discomfort, or perhaps requires medication management, is often harder on the person who loves you than it is on the patient. So I'm going to ask even more questions now. Now, even if the questions I'm asking now seem familiar to you as questions we might have asked before, I strongly urge you to answer them again, perhaps in light of what you've gone through in the last couple weeks based on our broadcast. Given the high rate of divorce for couples affected by chronic illness, what's the biggest challenge you're facing in your relationship? Do you blame your relationship troubles on your illness? If you could magically, if you could magically go back in time and chronic illness was not part of your relationship, how do you think your relationship would be? If there's been some indiscretion in the marriage or relationship because of that illness, do you believe if there was no illness in the relationship or paradigm, that indiscretion would have still taken place for any reason? If you or your spouse or fiancé could take a magic pill tomorrow and suddenly and safely be cured with no ill effects, Do you think you'd once again have the ideal relationship you used to dream of? And let me ask you, for the chronically ill partner, what about when your healthy partner doesn't feel well? How do you handle it? What feelings does that evoke? Well, for the healthy partner, then let me ask, when you as the healthy partner get sick and don't feel well, how does your chronically ill partner treat you physically and emotionally? What single factor do you think is important in a successful relationship, particularly when chronic illness is involved? How does your personal relationship with God and the focus of God, or lack of God, in your marriage relationship impact your answer to all of these questions? Well, now that you've answered your questions, or perhaps you've just listened and have been given food for thought, I want to share some of the responses from people and couples that I interviewed. And again, we get into the whys and wherefores and answers to those questions much, much deeper in the books and lecture series. When asked what the biggest challenge in the relationship was for those affected by chronic illness, and particularly inquiring how their personal relationship with God and the focus of God, or lack of being on God, on their marriage relationship impacted their answer, by far the most universal response was, "My partner does not understand." And that was the case even for couples that claimed to have a godly perspective in their life or on the relationship. But what differed was the impact the challenge played in the relationship. Respondents highlighted that usually their partner will understand some of the physical issues and challenges, usually interpreted as limitations by one or both partners. But the lack of understanding is usually translated into a lack of empathy for the global nature of the changes and challenges the patient is going through by the healthy partner. Instead of empathy and understanding, patients felt they were hearing more complaints from the healthy partner, alleging the chronically ill partner was always sick and couldn't do this or that. While those couples with a godly focus were less likely to comment in this manner, some were still affected, particularly when it came to more community or church-oriented socializing. And surprisingly, it's not unusual to hear comments from both the healthy and chronically ill partner relating, "We're always arguing about the same thing." The chronically ill partner repeatedly stating their healthy partner seems to attack out of frustration, complaining, "You never feel good." Well, at the same time, healthy partners frequently believe their life is impacted because their ill partner always states something hurts, that they feel sick, something makes them uncomfortable, or simply bothers them. There were two really good summary comments made by interview respondents while gathering input. And I believe the contrast evident in the statements will give you a clear representation of the difference in a marital relationship when the paradigm is God, marriage, and illness versus when the paradigm is illness, marriage, and God. And although it's not uncommon to hear comments from people similar to this, "He is not on board with the issues challenging me. He just doesn't understand at all." By contrast, the respondent stating she was maintaining her focus on God as the focus of the marriage summarized the issue this way: "He gets frustrated at seeing me in pain on a daily basis. And while it's frustrating for me sometimes, well, most of the time, the bigger problem is that he doesn't always, and I stress, not always, want to understand that the physical and emotional challenges are something God is using to allow us to glorify him to others in some way, whether it's simply to talk about someone else about our issues and challenges, or in some manner that we don't even know about yet." Again, it's perspective. When couples were asked about blaming the person or the chronic illness for the changes in the relationship, once again, there seemed to be a divide. And naturally, their belief in God and God's role in the relationship had an impact on how they answered the questions. For example, the respondent with an illness focus reported she actually ended up declaring to her healthy partner, "I didn't ask for this. You need to stop acting like it was something I wanted to have happen to me, only to further aggravate you." Another similar illness-focused response indicated it was not unusual for healthy partners to blame their chronically ill partner for their relationship changes, with such statements as, "If you weren't sick all the time," as one chronically ill respondent stated, It's like asking someone who is born with one leg to grow another so they're whole. It's just not going to happen. To ask me magically to be better one day so that we can have a more normal life isn't possible. Get over yourself. It's not going to happen. Well, before we discuss the implications of this perspective, it's also important to understand, as evidenced in the previous chapters in the books and previous broadcasts, when both partners are chronically ill, they're going to have a different outlook than when only one partner in a relationship is ill as well. Now both partners know what it's like for the healthy partner to be chronically ill, and the chronically ill partner knows what it's like to be taking on the role of caretakers. In other words, when both partners are chronically ill, there's a newfound level of flexibility and respect that is built into the relationship, with fewer demands being placed on either party since both don't feel well. In fact, those relationships where both partners were chronically ill seem to share actually more of the day-to-day activities while allowing the other partner to be independent as they've adapted. So in a strange way, it seems to bear witness to a newfound level of respect that each have gained for their partner, seeing them in a different light as they deal with and cope with their own illnesses, and thus how they now have to deal with their other partner's illness. One man in such a relationship stated, "I never really knew what it was like to live with limitations before. So when my wife came down with an illness that changed our relationship, I guess I felt sorry for myself more than I did for her. I just expected her to continue to take care of the house and do everything she used to do. I felt put upon when she said she needed my help or that she was too tired to be there for me or do something I needed. I guess I was a little too proud and didn't ask God about anything. Then I got diagnosed with a limiting illness. It was like all at once I understood what my wife had been going through emotionally, not necessarily only physically, because I have a different disorder." If your focus is not on God, the following danger is also possible. Consider this scenario. A wife was ill and required her husband to become her basic caretaker. However, her husband started having his own bad days and couldn't always perform all the normal caretaking functions for his wife that he had before he became ill. So initially, she started feeling like he was simply ignoring her, feeling that he had just grown tired of caring for her, feeling unloved and hurt. Well, while this was going on, her husband was also consumed with guilt at not being able to be her caretaker. Then, as bad days became more frequent for her husband, he felt that she should have been able to take care of him as he had for her, even though he knew it was an irrational thought. But it was an emotional response. So once they both opened up to each other about their feelings, the entire dynamic of the relationship changed. Now, if God was the primary focus, how might that have been different? Well, first and foremost, there would have been an emphasis on prayer. Prayer as the husband became the wife's caretaker, prayer as the husband was starting to have bad days, and prayer as the husband became increasingly challenged. The couple would have sought God's guidance, direction, and intervention in their situation as well, seeking his help to assure they both offered up the right words that each could use to comfort and strengthen the other partner and their marriage. The couple would have each first praised God and thanked him for all the blessings in their life. God would have remained the focus in the relationship, rather than the focus being on them as individuals. When God was the focus, respondents confirmed the natural instinct was to care for the one you love, no matter whether their impairment is just temporary or permanent. Statements include, whether you are the ill partner in a relationship, you seek to love and honor your once healthy spouse or partner, acting in their best welfare, seeking to do whatever you can to aid in their recovery. And you honor your spouse as you would honor God. You pray for your spouse. You seek God's intervention, God's healing, and God's care for your partner who is now ill. However, when your own illness is the primary focus in your life, responses are different. It seems there's a tremendous amount of resentment that gets built up in the chronically ill patient, particularly when they're in an unhealthy relationship and when they're placed in the caretaking role, even if it's temporary. For example, one individual stated, "You may want to care for the other person the way you would want to be taken care of, to model what you'd like to have them do for you, have not experienced. So then, your feelings of resentment surface." This situation further was commented upon by one who is chronically ill with an illness first focus, who stated, When my boyfriend says his back hurts, I really never know what to do because when I'm in pain, he pretty much avoids me or gives me a weird look. My instinct is, if he's sick or injured, I want to help him. But then I think, well, why? You don't even help me when the shoe's on the other foot. I feel in a way having chronic pain has made me more sympathetic, but at times it's made me heartless. Well, sadly, another respondent stated, you know, with similar thoughts, and she actually responded to the situation by asking her normally healthy partner, do you want to help me or do you want me to help you or treat you the way you treat me? Well, particularly when the challenges presented by marital statistics when illness is part of relationship, the final question asked of participants was, if they could narrow it down to one single factor that was the most important in maintaining a healthful and successful relationship, particularly when chronic illness is involved, what would that factor be? Well, there are a number of factors identified. First of all, for those with a godly focus on their marriage, they claimed that the impact of chronic illness on the relationship was only about 20 to 29%. And that's not one of the things they focused on or built their relationship around. It may have been something they were forced to build their lifestyle around, but it was not something that significantly shifted their focus off of God or off of each other and the love they maintained between them. In fact, one chronically ill individual stated, I want to be like those old couples you see who still hold hands when they walk together. I love my husband at all times and know he loves me as well. The illness is just something that happened and affects us as people, but not as a couple, not our love for each other. This is not the life we planned when we were dating and got engaged and married, but it is what life has thrown our way. It's our life now, and together we make it work. Well, you can guess where their focus is. Absolutely. It's on God, marriage, and then and only then, illness. Not surprisingly, one of the other key factors, couples who maintained a godly focus in their relationship despite the presence of illness, they stated that most important quality in a relationship was communication. And communication is not always about discussing the issues of the day. According to participants involved in the making of the workbook, communication is also involved in getting the other to vent their frustrations rather than let them remain bottled up. But the key was communication without anger or blame. And of course, to me, good communication always begins with prayer beforehand. If you have something to say to your spouse or partner, I always recommend you pray ahead of time. Pray to God to give you the words you need to use to convey what you mean to say in such a way that your spouse's heart will be softened to them and accept what you say without becoming defensive or angry. Lean on God. That's what he's there for. When you have God as the focus of your marriage, he can move mountains on your behalf and make what seems like the insurmountable easy. So for those of you who want a more comprehensive information on how together you can build and approach the God, marriage, and illness triad, I strongly suggest you order our book for a much more comprehensive discussion, including chapters that will foster methods to restore your relationship with God and your spouse despite the presence of chronic illness in your life. Remember, as alone as you may feel at any given time due to the presence of illness in your relationship, you are not alone. And I'm not talking about someone else from an online forum to share your misery with who can relate. I'm talking about God no matter what the situation. He has never left your side. Much like a loving father, he has never abandoned you, no matter how abandoned you may feel or have felt. And I'd venture a guess that the abandonment was felt when you took your eyes off of him and turned them inward because you were hurting. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending your son Jesus to die for our sins. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for welcoming our focus on you in times of trial to be the safe refuge for us. And Lord, we thank you for being the great physician, for being the one to heal us physically, emotionally, and spiritually. We know that you created the institution of marriage so that we might have a mate and life partner, so that we don't have to go through this life alone. Lord, you know our hearts, you know our sorrows, you know the pain in our heart when illness strikes, and we feel alone despite being in a committed relationship. Father, we ask that you help restore our marriage and relationships to be as they once were, when back to the days when we had stars in our eyes. We ask for your help and guidance when we naturally turn our eyes downward and inward upon ourselves rather than remaining upward and outward on you as it should always be. And Lord, it's in your ever-blessed name, dear sweet Lord Jesus, that I pray. Amen. So I want to thank you for listening to us today. This is a particularly important topic in our world as more and more chronic illness continues to grow and be diagnosed. If you'd like more information on our speaking engagements or have us visit your church or organization and speak on these issues, please email us at info@knowingchrist.com or message us off of our Facebook page. Our books are available on Amazon throughout the world or direct order off of our Facebook ministry page. It's Knowing Christ Ministries on Facebook. I urge you to follow us on iTunes or any of our platforms from Spreaker, Spreaker, or Blog Talk Radio. And, of course, you can always download a free podcast of our broadcast off of iTunes. For updates and invitations for our shows, please visit our Facebook page and like us to stay in the know. Both our publications, as I mentioned, including the books we're talking about on these broadcasts, can be directly ordered, and donations to our ministry can also be made off of our Facebook page as well. So I invite you to join us next week for our final broadcast on God, Marriage, and Illness, which I thought would have been today, but it wasn't, where we're going to discuss how to reestablish a focus on God in your marriage and then honor the marriage as the second priority, and only then focus on the illness. So until then, I want you to remember, it's not what you know, it's who you know. This is Dr. Danielle West for Knowing Christ Ministries saying, may Christ continue to bless you richly. Have a blessed week.